guys who didn't want to come up here. You should have came up here. You could have gotten something. Then you wouldn't have to listen to me. Good morning. It's been a little while since I've been up here, and it's I confess that I'm probably a little jitterier than I thought I was. I thought I'd be fine, but it takes a little bit to get used to standing in front of everybody and speaking again. So thank you for giving me this opportunity. The last time I brought the message here, it was the very end of December of last year. And I don't know if anybody remembers. I don't expect anybody to remember what I said that day. But I had been asked about a year ago by the GEM congregation if I would be willing to bring a series into their church as they were waiting for Pastor Les to go through his chemo and all the treatments he was going through. And so I agreed. I did a three-part series about I Am, which conveniently Laurel introduced today again. The very first session, for whatever way we want to call it, I talked about who I am. And that was what we were talking about in December. Who we are. And part of the thing is how do we identify ourselves? If each one of us had an opportunity to say, who am I? I think a lot of people would pull out their driver's license. They would say, my name is, my social insurance number is this. I am husband or wife to so-and-so. I have so-and-so are my parents, so-and-so are my children. I am related to so. I live somewhere. I do this. I do that. And that's how we identify ourselves. And it may seem a little bit obscure why a guy who needs to know so much about who we are, but it's important to understand who you are, who God is, and also who God says we are. And those are the three parts to the series that I put together. Today is part two. Today we're going to talk about I Am, about God Himself. Previously, I talked about who we were. And just as a brief review, it was this. We realized that we were created. We were loved. We were created with a purpose. We were sinners. And last but not least, we were not condemned. We were redeemed. And those are the things that I tried to stress about who we are. Today, though, we get to talk about God. So how do we do justice to talking about God? There are, I don't know how many churches in the world today. I don't know how many of them. Today is Sunday there. How many pastors are speaking? And everybody's talking about God. There have been sermons for years. There's been thousands of churches. Everybody trying to capture the essence of who our Lord and our Maker is. And I equate it very simply to like making a bowl out of screen. And you mush it all together and you try to bend it and you make it look like it's a bowl and you pour water in it. What happens? It just oozes out. I have an idea who God is. I have a little cookie cutter box that I have that I say this is who God is. But just like that screen bowl, he oozes out. I cannot capture the essence, the full. We cannot comprehend everything about God. And that's who I want to talk about today. Laurel had this children's feature on Moses. And the main passage, again, I'll just touch upon it, is Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. If you have your Bibles, you want to keep your fingers stuck in there, you can. But it's familiar with us. Exodus 3, 13 and 14, it says this. Then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And again, here's Moses making a few little excuses. What am I supposed to say? Yeah. And God says to Moses, he says very simply this, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I still remember in Bible school, the first time I read that, part of the deal was that we had to take our Bibles, we had to read the entire thing. And yes, I heard about the story of the burning bush and everything like that, but I never focused in on the name. Why would God say, I am? That is my name. Three letters, a break in between, I and two letters, I-A-M, I am. It seems kind of obscure. Yet, when you actually start to think and maybe probe a little deeper into what God is trying to say, he's saying this. He's saying, I have always existed. There is no beginning, there is no end. When you think of the story of Job, Job was put into a really difficult position, lost a lot of things, from anything from his family to the goods to his crop, his cattle, his servants. And he sits there and he laments to God and he whines and complains to a certain point. His friends give him a hard time. And you go through about 30-some chapters in Job where there's this conversation going on between Job and his three friends. And then God finally says, enough. He steps in, he says, my turn to talk. And everybody stops and God says, where were you at the beginning of time? Where were you when the foundation of the earth was set in place? And it halts everybody. I'm a facts and figures guy. I like trivial stuff. Why did God decide that 93 million miles had to be the right distance from the sun to the earth? Why does, when the earth spin, is there a 15 degree swing so that we have seasons? How did he figure that out? Why does the earth spin at 25,000 miles per hour? Why is gravity just enough to hold us down so that we don't fly away and yet not so strong that our bones don't break? Why is the moon exactly 228,000 miles, 440 miles away from the earth? Why, when it swings and comes close to the earth, does it cause the tides to move? Why does light travel at 186,000 miles per second? Why does it do that? Who decided that? Why is the earth created with 71% water, 29% land? Why? And how does it work that those currents and the amount of water and the amount of evaporation cause rain in places, and why does it cause heat in others? Why does water have three forms, ice, rain, and evaporation? Why is there perpetual motion? They say that our earth itself, as it travels, it's traveling through space. Do we know that? What set it in motion? How do we know that? For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Who put that law into place? We've discovered it. But who put it in place? How did it all come about? Who made those principles? We are created. Who dreamt us up? So God uses the name I am. God said, I created. I am. God in Exodus identifies himself as I am to Moses. As we further ourselves into the New Testament, we start talking about Jesus. And we get into his ministry and what he says about himself. In John 8, he starts to identify himself. He also says that I am as well. Jesus is having a discussion with the Pharisees. If you have your Bibles with you, John chapter 8, verses 52 to 59. Story goes with this. Jesus is talking with the Pharisees. They're having a discussion. Again, he's being quizzed. In verse 52, the Jews said to him, it says, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also, and you say, if anybody keeps my word, he shall never taste of death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered. He says, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be a liar, just like you. But I do know him, and I do keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad. And the Jews therefore said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. What a claim. Jesus says the same thing. He says, I am identifying myself as I am. So now, are we getting confused? I don't think so. But we have God who says, I am, in the burning bush. Now we have Jesus saying, I am as well. Couple that with Genesis 1 verse 2, and it says, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And who? The Spirit of the God was moving over the surface of the waters. So in creation, now we have three. We all refer to this as the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I don't know, I hope you don't mind. Can we do an object lesson this morning? We're good with that, kids?
I'll grab the microphone so you can hear me.
I've done this with our Sunday school class and stuff like that, and some of you have probably seen this, but it's a simple way for me to remember and to be reminded of how the Trinity works. So if any of you have seen these lovely little machines, does anybody have one? Oh, now the kids are interested. Do any of the kids want to come closer and watch what happens? You're sure welcome to it. Have an apple. Love apples. Make great pies. Go along with a lot of good things. If a lot of you guys haven't seen how this little machine works, Lee Valley sells them. I'm not on commission. But if you take this little machine and you turn it, I'll do that. If you're a pie maker, you're going to love this machine. There you go. Flesh. Almost a wreck. The core. And the peel. Three parts. The core is the beginning of the plant, is the very seed. I equate this to God the Father. That's where it starts. Everything revolves around how that core starts. Everything grows around it. We think of Jesus. He came in flesh. What is this? This is the flesh. The flesh of the apple. Jesus. If you take a look at the peel, very simply, it is the Holy Spirit. He's a protector. He's a provider. He wards off things that will hurt the apple plant. Separate, it's still apple. This is still apple. The core is still apple. It's not orange. It's not banana. It's not kiwi. It's not mango. It is apple. No matter what you do to this thing, if you take the seeds out of the core and put it in the ground, it'll still grow an apple tree. It won't grow an orange tree. It won't grow something else. And yet you put all three of them together, they are apple, yet all separate. They're still apple. It's a simple way for me to understand the Trinity, the three parts to who God is. And by the way, they're all good for eating, so kids, you can come later if you'd like. So this then, in a nutshell, is the God that we serve. This is the God that we worship. It's important that we know who he is, what he is, what he stands for. I've always known, I've always been taught about how great God is. We sing about him, we talk about him. But again, can we truly comprehend who he really is? It was interesting, in Bible school, I had a prof there by the name of David Bergen, and he said to me, whatever you do, never ever talk flippantly about God. And I tried to understand a little bit, why would he say that? People had a tendency, some of my friends had a tendency of talking about God as the man upstairs. When we wrote a paper, instead of writing the word Christian, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, it took so long, people would make an X, I-A-N. He says, don't do that. And I tried to figure out why. Why would that be such an issue? And he says, what you're doing, you're belittling the greatest of the great. You do not understand how great he is. So I'm going to try to wow you a little bit this morning with a little something. First of all, to start it off, Psalm chapter 33, verses 6 to 9. It's a wonderful passage of scripture that it's kind of a little bit obscure, but yet when you start to think about it, it's very, very powerful. It goes like this, Psalm 33, 6 to 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. I want you to just focus in on verse 6. It says, by the words of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. Let me try to help you understand the magnitude of the greatness of God. And when I started to do a little bit more digging, I was pretty blown away by this. This image of God breathing from his mouth, the hosts of heaven, sun, moon, stars. If you guys want to do something very interesting, and don't do it now, but maybe after church, if you want to see something really interesting, go to YouTube and punch up a person sneezing. And they'll show it in absolute slow motion. And you'll see somebody getting ready to sneeze, and his eyes will close, and your face will pucker. And in slow motion, your skin does this, but the stuff that comes from your mouth is beyond anything you want to even imagine. But there's an explosion, and it goes out. And that's the image I get of when God starts to say, by the word, by the breath of his mouth, he put out the hosts of heaven. So let's talk about this. Previously, the largest star, and we're talking about stars being spewed from his mouth. Let's talk about some large stars. The largest star at one time, scientists thought, to be a huge hypergiant star, it was called VY, and then the word Canis Majoris, M-A-J-O-R-I-S. Let's get this in perspective. Our Earth's diameter is roughly 40,000 kilometers. It's roughly 25,000 miles around on the equator. This beast of a star has a diameter of 2.8 billion kilometers around. To put it in perspective, if you climbed on board a passenger plane on a nice Airbus 320 and flew at about 900 km an hour, which is roughly 540 miles an hour, do you know how long you would be on that plane to make one revolution around it? Anybody want to venture a guess on that one? Somebody's got their calculators out. Pardon me? More so, 335 years to make one revolution around a star that God spewed from his mouth. Today, astronomers have figured out they may have found an even larger one. They're not sure about it yet. It's so large that they're having trouble trying to actually figure out the exact dimension. Its name is UY Scuti, S-C-U-T-I. If our Earth was an 8-inch ball, from here to here is roughly 9, an 8-inch ball is roughly about that big. Our sun, in comparison to that 8-inch ball, would be roughly 73 feet in diameter. That's our sun. That's about the height of the White House in Washington, D.C. Scuti would be 125,000 times in diameter than what our Earth was. So you can understand it, if Scuti would replace our sun, it would swallow the entirety of Jupiter's orbit around the sun. So you have the sun, you have Mercury, you have Venus, you have Earth, you have Mars, you have Jupiter. Past Jupiter is the big one with the red spot. Then you have Saturn with the ring around it. Some people even suggest that the diameter of this monster could even touch as far as Jupiter, as Saturn's rings. So God decided that for the sheer enjoyment of creation, he would spew from his mouth the hosts of heaven. Wow. Talk about an understatement. And by the breath of his mouth, the stars were breathed into existence. I had a prof who told me, don't talk about God in small terms. How mighty is our God? I hope you can tell that I like that stuff. It gives me perspective. It helps me to identify who I worship. It gives different meaning to who the great I am is. I try to shove him into a little box. I try to say this is who God is. I can't comprehend him. God says in Revelation 22:13, he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is our God. This is who we worship. Our problems that we have sometimes become very, very small when you try to understand the magnitude of who God is. Jesus also claimed a lot of things with the words, I am. I'd like you to think about them as we draw to a close some of what we're thinking here. If you get into the book of John, John has so much to do with Jesus' actual ministry. And I'm going to read off 7 I ams that Jesus himself shared with everybody. In John chapter 6, verses 35, verses 41, 48, and 51, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 8, verses 12, in chapter 9, verse 5, he says, I am the light of the world. In John 10, verses 7 and 9, he says, I am the door of the sheep. John chapter 10, verses 11 and 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. John 11, 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And in John 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. And finally, the 7th one, John 15, verses 1 and 5, he says, I am the true vine. I am. As I understand, and I looked at that little cartoon that was shown, that little illustration of the burning bush, I am becomes much more important to me. This is the identity we need to comprehend. We know who we are. We know our shortcomings. We know where we fail. We know how, perceived or not, we may have hurt people, and those become our weaknesses. It's one thing to understand who we are, created, loved, purposeful, sinful, and redeemed. But it is quite another to comprehend who our Maker is. Can we truly explain who God is? It's a lot like pouring water into a bowl made of screen. He just keeps oozing out everywhere. For that, I am amazed. Let's bow for prayer. Holy Father, we come before you. Father, I am amazed. I am overwhelmed by who you are. Father, when we understand how small we are, how full of faults we are, and to know that you are a holy, righteous, mighty, omnipotent, all-powerful God, it sometimes makes us feel very small. Yet, Lord, you have said to each one of us that you love us. You dreamt each of us up. You created us. You've said that you've loved us. You loved us to the point that your Son came to die for us. We thank you. You've given each one of us a purpose to spread the word, to share you with others. And Father, by the death of your Son, we are redeemed. And we thank you. God, I pray that you be with us today. I pray that you be with this church. Lord, I pray that in our own lives, as we take a look at some of the things that are bothering us, and the struggles we go through, and the joys that we have, Father, we have you to lean on. We have you to credit. And Father, this morning, as we understand the enormity of who you are, we can't totally comprehend you, but we thank you, Lord, that you are our God, and we claim you as ours, as you've claimed us to be yours. Thank you, Father, for this morning. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us as we continue in worship with you. Amen. In closing song.